Welcome to this special edition of Poker Fraud Alert Radio. I am Todd Dandruff-Witellis, your host, and this is a show to talk about the interview that Tom Dwan, a.k.a. Durr, did on Poker News, because he has this ongoing controversy where he's alleged to owe money to Peter Jetton and Haralabob and Jungle Man and others who haven't identified themselves yet, and that he has not been paying back, according to his detractors, that he just simply does not pay back. And we had some discussion of this on the last show, so you can go take a listen to the last episode, which is already up in the archives. You can find it on any podcasting app. You can find it on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@PokerFraudAlert, or you could just search Poker Fraud Alert on there and find the latest episode for March 10th. Right now it is March 12th at 12:06 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. This will be a one-topic episode. As soon as we're done talking about this Durr matter tonight, I will shut the show off and we'll do our other topics that are still pending from the other show that we never got to within the next few days. So this is not part two of that show. This is its own little special as kind of a companion to the last episode, because we talked about Durr at the end of that show too. But there's some stuff that's happened since then that I want to talk about. So I'm not going to go into a whole summary of this because we just did this 2 days ago. So if you want to understand the backstory to this, then go listen to the March 10th episode. Towards the end, you'll see there's a Tom Dwan topic. You'll see there's an ACR topic, which also deals with Tom Dwan. And you'll hear that we played a little 8-minute interview between Chad Holloway and Durr. And now there's a 45-minute version which dropped today. So I'm going to play it and stop it and comment on it. And that's really the main purpose of this show. And then at the end, I will read some tweets from Peter Jetton from today, who is the current main detractor of Durr, about that whole subject. So let's start with the interview.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I am with Mr. Tom Dwan. Tom, the last time I talked to you, it was a very short interview. Your phone was on 4%. We were going to talk about your sponsorship with ACR. We did dive a little bit into the more controversial stuff, which is actually what we're going to get into today. So thanks for taking the time, man.
Yeah, no problem. I was just saying for a second, and then I guess you said it wasn't recorded yet, but this morning, my time, like a few hours ago, I think when we were texting or something, I saw the tweets, and I think it was fucking J-Mo trying to say that you were giving a softball interview. And like, as far as I know, your my only interactions were me giving you shit around the Robbie stuff and then us texting some. And like if anything, I don't think you would be a very biased on my side kind of person. I think you were like trying to ask me reasonable questions and being like, yeah, but I know your phone's on.
Yeah, I mean, I was.
So what Durr was saying here, I'm going to have to stop every so often and kind of translate. I had to translate Durr to English because Tom Dwan is not very eloquent. He just kind of rambles and he's in his own little world. It's kind of hard to understand him. So what he's trying to say here is that J-Mo, meaning Jason Moe on Twitter, was accusing Chad Holloway of giving a softball interview, that little 8-minute interview we posted in the last show. Jason Moe was saying was softball. And Tom Dwan saying, no, it wasn't. I don't really know you very well. And when we did interact, it was actually a debate about Robbie Jade Liu back when that whole thing happened. And why would you softball me? Now, I will say that Chad Holloway is a good poker journalist. I have not seen him softball people. He does ask the difficult questions, so I don't agree with that criticism, but I guess you'll be able to make a better judgment listening to this 45-minute version.
I was trying to squeeze in a lot with a little time because we knew the clock was ticking. And then also, like I said, the preface for that last interview was the sponsorship. I didn't reach out to you and say, hey, can we talk about this other stuff? It just kind of came up, but that is the purpose of this interview. So let me ask you. Go ahead.
Just one more point on that before we start is I think that like a lot of, especially like talking head type people in the poker room, like I just said something of like people LARP about having integrity instead of actually trying to have it. Right, they want to pretend they do or whatever. And a lot of people go for gotcha type stuff, in my opinion, right? And I actually, the one time I gave you shit publicly was I thought it was stuff like that. And then we talked and I realized, like, okay, I don't think that was your intention. Maybe that's how I read it or whatever in that moment, but I don't think. And so, like, when you and I chatted, I didn't feel like your intention was to catch me off guard. It was like, I definitely didn't feel like you're coming in planning to be softball or whatever. It's just like, I think you're trying to be reasonable and, you know, ask whatever kind of thing.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. And, you know, I do try to be unbiased and reasonable. That said, you know, I do want to ask a few kind of hardball questions on this one.
Go for it.
So let me just start. Peter Jetton says you owe him $226,000. Do you?
So I backed Peter for a long time, right? I actually only had half the backing deal, right? And my opinion is he's trying to paint a specific story, right? And people in like the high stakes gambling world, as an example, one of the things is he didn't send me accounting, right? And then he's like, oh, well, you had it in this one place from years ago. Like, that's not, I've had plenty of people owe me money. Plenty of them still do. I've had times I owed people for stuff. When someone says, please send me the accounting, or send me the accounting, or stop yelling at me, send me the fucking accounting. Like, any of these things, if you think someone owes you money, you send them the accounting, right? He had some cash out. I don't remember the exact terms. I remember I was like livid around the cash out, and I just wanted nothing to do with staking him ever again, right? And when I asked him details around it, he still hasn't sent those. Like, he one time told me, oh, it's not related. And I'm like, okay, like, it was much different when he was saying, please cover this thing. Oh, you had half the deal, but the other half was a buddy of ours. I had a bunch of dealings with it. It was through, you know, no, there's an argument for me covering the other half. Instead of saying, please do this. Oh, I'm in a bad spot. Oh, please don't, you know, give me a hard time. He owes $1.6 million to makeup, right? Please don't give me a hard time on that. Instead of saying those things, right, he's saying like, ah, you're a piece of shit. Fuck you. And then, like, it seems clear to me he's going to be trying to paint a story with texts and shit. He wouldn't even send me our fucking texts. Finally, yesterday he did. But that was only after someone else pressured him. So the other thing is, it's not like he fronted this money, right? A well-known person in the poker world have fronted for those buy-ins, right? And that guy was here. That guy's like, oh, dude, I thought you had all Peter's deal. Oh, you only had half. I still feel out this amount, right? Like, no, that's how it normally goes down when someone, no. Right? And so then I was like, okay. Like, reasonable. And that guy, I'm happy to deal with. That's, like, no
when
problem,
you,
right?
When you say...
Oh, let me stop right here. So, of course, Durr is still already very confusing. We're only, like, 4 minutes in, and it's probably very difficult to follow this. So, first of all, the question when you're asked, do you owe someone $226K? There's three answers to this. Three possible answers. Yes, no, or I owe him but a different amount. There's nothing else. There's no other thing you can say there that will lead to anything but one of those three answers. And the fact that we have not gotten an answer here, and all he's doing is rambling about texts and accounting and all this other stuff, this is often what people do when they owe money, when they're confronted, and they have to explain themselves. So rather than saying, yes, I owe the money, and yes, I just haven't been paying and I need to pay, they will start going into all this needless detail and all these extraneous stories that don't really have any impact on whether or not they owe the money and whether or not they've been responsible in making payments. So it's already clear from these first 4 minutes to me that, yes, he owes the money and he has not been paying and he's just trying to introduce other gripes here. Now, right before I stopped it, I heard something interesting. Basically, this is about Tom agreeing to take a piece of Peter in some events, and then Peter didn't cash in these events, and then Peter went to Tom saying, okay, well, you took such and such piece of me, so you owe me this much money back, and Tom didn't pay. That's what Peter is alleging. Now, what Tom seems to be saying here is that Peter wasn't the one putting up the money for these events, that basically Tom took a piece of him in certain events, maybe it was half, I don't know, but he took a piece of him in certain events, and then someone else actually put up the buy-in money. So what Dwan is saying here is that the money's technically owed to this other guy, not Peter, and happy to deal with the other guy, not Peter. But I don't understand that. Even if this is true, I don't understand it, because either way, he owes someone the money. Either he owes Peter the money, or he owes this other guy. So there shouldn't be a situation where you, quote, don't want to deal with someone because you're mad at them. If you owe them money, pay them, and then never talk to them again. Then block them on social media. Then just don't ever acknowledge their existence if that's what you want to do. But you got to pay first. You can't say, well, I don't want to deal with this person because he's been a jerk to me. I owe him money, but I don't want to deal with him. I'll deal with this other guy. So I already don't like the way this is starting.
Say that guy is here. Do you mean there in Jeju at the Triton?
Yeah, yeah. We already talked twice or something, you know, and it, like, me and Peter shit spilled onto that guy a bit much. Was that more because of Peter, more because of me? Whatever, right? Like, I don't, you know,
and
that person's being reasonable.
We're talking about staking and buy-ins from, according to Peter, from the 2020, I think, Aussie Millions down in Australia, the high rollers. Is that accurate? Is that what this centered about?
I think. I'm not sure. You know, but I didn't even know these details till a month ago or whatever, like 3 days before he tweeted. You know, he finally sent me accounting, right? And then he tries to say, like, oh, I gave Tom a hard time, so this is why he sent money. No, I fucking sent my half, whatever the balance was. I think it was actually like 33 or something. I sent 30 because I didn't want to fucking read through, because he was sending me crazy messages, because he finally sent me accounting, right? And it's like, it's way different if a buddy of mine that I know has no money and shit is saying, please help me out, please do this, as opposed to, fuck you, you're a piece of shit, I'm going to bend the truth, I'm going to, you know, like, obviously I'm not in the mood to do any favors for someone doing the second.
Sure. So you sent him $30,000 after he sent you some receipts. He claims that you said you would pay the rest in Jeju, and if not, that you would add $25,000 on top, and that he said no to that. I mean, is that accurate?
Jeju, by the way, is a location of the Triton event. In case you wonder why that name keeps getting mentioned, that's J-E-J-U. And I still don't understand Tom's reasoning here about, oh, I don't want to do you a favor if you're being a jerk to me and you're saying things on Twitter which aren't true, blah, blah, blah. You're not doing someone a favor by paying them back. And as far as accounting, I don't think I buy this either. Now, maybe Tom does not have, or did not have, a list of exactly how it all added up to $226,000. And perhaps he wants it verified before he pays the entire $226,000 that it really is $226,000. And that's fine. And I kind of have a hard time believing that Peter just wouldn't send this to him. Like, why wouldn't he? If that's the only thing holding it up, why wouldn't Tom just say, hey, I'm ready to pay you, but I can't until I see a very specific accounting on how this adds up? Why would Peter say, no, I'm not sending? It just makes no sense. But even if that were the case, Tom knows he owes something. He knows he owes a substantial amount of money. So why not send what you're sure you owe? Like, let's say he knows he owes somewhere between $150 and $250. He's just not sure of the exact number, and Peter's saying it's $226, but he's not sure if it's $226. So Tom wants to see everything. Let's say that were the case. Well, if you know you owe a minimum of $150, then at least send the $150 and say, I'll send the rest when I see the full accounting. But just to send nothing until you get the receipts of what you owe seems like stalling to me. Let's go on.
No, there was a point I had said I can send you the rest by Jeju, right? And meaning the other half that I think there's an argument that's a pretty strong one for me not being responsible for, right? This is like before I knew he was going, I think he's being a complete douchebag, like scumbag to me, right? And, but in the past, every time something like this came up, he'd be like, sorry, I'm just stressed. Sorry, it's a problem with the guy that fronted him that money, right? That kind of stuff. Around then, when I had said that, I said, send me that guy's number. And he said, no. And so, like, okay, obviously, you know, he's like, get it yourself. I'm just like, this is not a fucking credible. If you actually think someone owes you something, you don't do those kind of things, right? That's just not, that's not how life works. Like, and then, for example, I like, part of that was me saying, send me the messages around the cash, or send me what you have. Or it's always like, no, you know, some excuse, some, you know, like, it's not like he's saying, oh, I don't have some of these, or I don't have what. It's always some fucking story, right? Like, that just doesn't it's clear there's an angle of like, let me try to make Tom look bad publicly for whatever fucking, you know, I don't know if he wants clicks or if he wants some upside out of it or if he wants what, but like, and the reality is 1.6 in makeup, like, so I think it was a 50-50 deal. So that could be worth at max 800K, right? Some kind of fair value is, you know, maybe a minimum, probably a quarter to a third of that 800, but probably a little more. And I think there was, I'm not sure if it was Peter's deal, but there was a spot where we had, I actually forgot about this till I was ranting before to someone. There was a spot we either did buy or were going to buy makeup. I think it was like one of the Greenwoods that we were going to buy on Peter's deal or something. It was like to be nice to them and shit, but I think we were paying 20%, 30%, 25%, something like this, right? Like, you know, so that of 1.6 million is more than the number he's barking about, right? And he's trying to be like, Tom's a scumbag, Tom's that, like, it just doesn't hold water, you know. It's and it's way different if he's saying, hey, please cover that other half anyway, I'm in a bad spot, right? Which, like, every time we chat would basically be the story, and then he would send me some crappy shit and I'd be like, dude, like, you know, like, that doesn't make me want to take the worst of it, you know.
If he's saying, so you sent him 30,000, does he, are you saying he's in makeup from your backing deal? So technically, you know, like, maybe, like, why send 30,000 if you feel he's in makeup to you?
No, when he finally sent me the figures, right? Sure. Remember, this guy was my friend for a long time. Right. I'm not in any interest to give the guy any, you know, any potential favors, anything like that now, right? Before I sent that was, yeah, he was saying he was going to tweet stuff. Okay, whatever, right? I didn't assume he would be, now it seems clear he's going to like post messages. And when he knows I don't have the chats and stuff, that's like much different, right? Like, I didn't assume he'd be warping the truth. He went and did warp the truth and stuff. But so before that, me saying, okay, I'll send whatever this is, was being like, fuck you, I'll give you like a favor. I'm not trying to ask for fake. I'm not trying to whatever. I'll give you my half and we can talk about the rest. And I said something like, but if you piss me off, then we need to talk about something fair for the makeup, right? Because it was like, he was like yelling at me. I was like, please just sure. Stop. I was like, I'd rather you just not message, like, whatever. Like, I'll give you a budget and fuck off. Like, don't, you know, I'd rather have nothing to do with you, right? And it's me covering half that, like, there's some argument for me covering some of it or whatever. I you know, it's nowhere near direct, kind of.
I'm very confused by this. I'm sure you are, too. So it kind of sounds like, and Chad Holloway said it, too, it kind of sounds like that what Durr is saying is that this wasn't actually a straight piece that was bought, but that he's actually in makeup. And the way makeup works, for those of you that don't know, makeup is when someone is staking you for tournaments, and then if you are down on the stake, meaning you've lost more than you've won, so that person is down in their staking of you, that you don't owe them the money. It's just when you eventually win, you're going to have to pay them directly out of your winnings. So let's say you have a 50-50 backing deal where someone's backing you 100% in the events and they're taking 50% of the profits. If you fall below even to where you're losing more than you're winning, then you're paying 100% of everything you cash to that person until you get out of makeup and they're even. And at that point, then you do your 50-50 split. Now, what that has to do with here is if makeup is involved, then what's going on here is that Tom doesn't technically owe it. So that's what he's trying to say here, but he isn't being clear about how exactly this is a makeup thing, because it just seems like the buy-in was fronted by somebody else for Peter's events where Tom bought a piece, and I guess Peter paid this other guy back. And then Tom owes him. So basically, let's say Peter enters an event for 10K and Tom says, hey, I'll buy 50% of that. Then Tom owes him 5,000 for that buy-in. So if Peter busts, then Tom has to pay the 5,000 that he agreed to buy, which is half the event. So Peter saying this basically added up to 226K. So I don't see how makeup could even be part of this. Because even if you want to say this wasn't a direct buy a piece deal and that this is a makeup situation where Peter will be in makeup, that still would mean that Tom has to pay his share of the buy-ins that are being put up. So I just don't understand the point he's trying to make, and it kind of seems like Chad Holloway doesn't either, and I bet you don't either.
Sure, right.
But you've referenced
and planning to ask for none of the makeup, and then he did that, and I was like, okay, fuck you. We need to talk about something fair for the makeup. Please send me please send me this guy's number, and then he didn't send a number, and yeah,
gotcha. So, you've referenced
didn't send the number. Never gave the other fucking details. And I just was like. Sorry, I might bent a little because I'm tilted. Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry.
I'm going to ask, though, you've referenced half several times. So what's half? Did you send 30,000? And so you're saying that's
no,
half?
No, I'm saying I had half of his deal direct.
All right.
Right? So you want to say, I owe you whatever. Like, even that's annoying as shit because it's like, where's the fucking accounting? Right? But then when I'm asking details, like, I asked about the cash out. He still didn't explain that. Right? But fine. I was like, fine, here's my half. You want to talk about recovering the other half, you got to fucking give the details and shit. You can't just be like, oh, you could have had those. Oh, it's your fault. You have bad account. Like, that's not how high stakes gambling works. If you think someone owes you something or if you're asking them to cover something and they're like, please send me the figures. You don't make up some story to try to make them look bad. You fucking send the figures, you know?
So instead of this, the public Twitter spat, I know the word arbitration has come up several times. Is that an option? Why haven't you guys went down
that
path?
No, I said that to him. I said that to him, and he said something like, no, we're going to see what the public thinks. Right. I said that to him, and then he did that, and he knew I didn't have my Twitter. So it's like extra fucking low blow, you know? And so yeah.
If he was still willing, would you do arbitration?
I would have arbitrated just his issue and not asked for anything on makeup or whatever when I had said that initially, right? I think I might have asked for some fee or something because he had pissed me off on makeup, but whatever. I would have been super favorable. Now I would be like, yeah, we can add up all of them, including like all the things he did not cool by me. But like the guy that had given him that money when I brought that up, right? He was like kind of saying like, well, you know, he doesn't have money, right? Like, you know. I was like, dude, I'm not trying to fucking take any money from the guy. If I know, if it's like abundantly clear, like why won't the guy, it takes two clicks, export chat, right, on WhatsApp. If it's abundantly clear the guy's going to do that kind of shit, why would I do any fucking favors, right? Like,
I'm still not understanding the favor thing. It's not a favor to pay money you owe. So either you owe the money or you don't. If you don't owe it, then explain exactly why you do not owe it. If you do owe the money, he could be the biggest jerk in the world. You got to pay him. So I'm not getting his logic with that. And it does seem like he's admitting that he had a half direct piece of Peter, but he's claiming he sent 30K, and yet it seems like much more than 60K worth of events was bought. And it seems like what Tom is saying is, well, I wasn't getting the accounting for this. So I would think the next question is, I don't know if Holloway's going to ask this because I haven't watched it yet. We're watching it together for the first time. But I would think the next question would be, if you're sent a full accounting, will you pay at that point? And if the answer is no, then why? And if it's something to do with his makeup, then explain specifically why makeup would subtract from what you're supposed to owe here. What is this makeup? Where did it come from? Why does Peter owe you this back? To where it would subtract off of what you owe for these pieces that you admit you bought. So that's what I would ask. And the rest of this is all immaterial, whatever Peter tweeted or whether he's showing the full chats. It doesn't really matter. That stuff doesn't matter as far as paying each other. That might matter as far as whether you want to be friends with him or whether you think he's a jerk, but not about paying him back. Let's go on.
So, before he had spazzed, I was not trying to cause someone that had been my friend any issues. I didn't really want to talk to him ever again, but I was like, fine, I'll like honor the past friendship. I won't try to, you know, put him in a hard spot or whatever. Now I feel much differently about that, right? Sure. Now if we're going to hash out, basically what I feel like happened is there's one spot that I'm guessing that he can you know, he already has tried to paint it some, but I'm guessing he has other ways he thinks he can paint it to make it look like I did something slightly not perfect by him. And instead of saying, oh, hey, maybe there's a bunch of times he had done shit not great by me, you know, he's trying to paint it that way. So then if we're going to arbitrate, we can arbitrate those too, you know?
Yeah, he did. So he did mention too, he wasn't really interested in arbitration unless you might be willing to escrow. And you know, just using the numbers that he said.
No, the guy that loaned him the money was fucking, that's retarded. I mean, yeah, that's not.
So
that's retarded. Not credible.
You would, but you know, if, okay. So
I'm saying he's just trying to paint a picture. That's like not, that's not credible.
Okay.
Like,
but let me ask then, 226,000 is the number that he said you've paid him 30. We're going to leave that at 196,000. Would you be willing to escrow 196,000, take this to arbitration with somebody that you
know? No, I gave that other guy, the other guy explained like, oh, I thought you had it. And I gave him like, I'm going to give that other guy, I don't feel like that other guy meant weird. I'm going to give him the amount that he was owed. I was like, look, my opinion, my preference is none of that should go to Peter. Whatever you do is yours, but then don't fucking whine to me. Right. And then at one point when it was like really clear Peter was doing the tech shit, I was like, yeah, like we might need to fucking talk a little because come on, that's like a different level. If
this doesn't make a lot of sense. So to review from the last show, Peter was saying that he's willing to do an arbitration, but not to allow Tom to stall. What he wants is Tom to put up the money in escrow before they do the arbitration, so this way he's sure he gets paid if he wins the arbitration, which I think is reasonable, because not only could it be a stalling tactic, but also it could be a free roll for Tom. If he's never planning to pay, then he might figure, okay, I'll do the arbitration. And if I win, great, then I don't owe the money. And if I lose, well, I just won't pay. So I'm already not paying, so I'm not going to lose much out of this. Already the whole poker world's hearing this. The whole poker world doesn't trust me. They're on Peter's side. So why not take a free roll here and do arbitration and maybe getting out of this? So I understand why Peter does not want to do this unless he knows he's going to get paid once the ruling goes on his end, if that happens. Tom's saying he won't do that, and he's referencing the, quote, other guy, who I believe is supposed to be the person who put up the money for Peter physically when Peter was entering these events in Australia. Presumably what was happening, and I don't know if this is the truth, but presumably what supposedly happened there in Australia in 2020 was that Peter was entering events but not putting up his own money. So half of it was taken by some guy in Australia, and half of it was taken by Tom Dwan remotely. So basically, the guy in Australia was putting up all the money for Peter to enter these events, and then Tom was supposed to send his end for the other half, and then never did, according to Peter. Now, I never heard about this other guy, but maybe that's true. Maybe there is another guy here. But then the question does come up, why would it be that Tom owes Peter and not this other guy? Now, maybe what it is that Peter paid back the other guy once they got screwed by Durr, so now the debt is owed to Peter. So maybe that's what's going on here. And it wouldn't make sense for Tom to say, well, I'm only paying this other guy, because if this other guy already got paid back, then he's not involved anymore. But let's go on. Maybe we'll learn this as we go further into this.
Yeah. That's a different level.
Yeah, and I just want to get this out there, because people who are listening are no doubt going to ask why I'm not asking about who this other guy is. Now, I do know who it is, but out of respect from what we've talked about earlier, I'm not going to say it. And
my intention isn't to put people in bad spots for no reason, right? And that's sure. Part of why, like, sure, whoever the fuck may try to claim some clout or look honorable by saying, why wouldn't you ask it? If I felt like you're going to give me a hard time every last detail like that, then I probably wouldn't be willing to do an interview, right? I'm not saying if one or two of those, fine, whatever, but I don't see, I would love if that guy talked publicly about this spot, right? But I'm trying to be, you know, I'm not trying to cause other people problems in the spot, right? The guy that had half of Peter's deal, I'm not trying to cause a problem. I'm not the happiest, because it was that guy that convinced me to keep sticking Peter, right? But whatever, like, that's, you know, Yeah, I don't know. So so that's why I'm not trying to. It's putting it this way. It's easier for me if I just mention every detail of that, right? But that guy, I don't think he's done anything weird by me. Him and Peter are still friendly. I'm really unhappy with Peter, but I respect how that guy's tried to be. So I'm trying to honor that. You know what I mean?
No, I understand. And I know it gets very complicated at the highest levels of this game and the high stakes. Let me ask this then, because we've been talking about Peter Jetton. That did inspire one Hierolibus Vulgaris speak up.
The one thing I'll ask is, let's try to not jump back and forth too much.
Okay.
So is that all right? Can we just try to see if there's any other Peter stuff for a second? I think I might have a thing or two to say. And then,
sure. No, absolutely.
Because if we jump it back and forth too much, then I'm going to actually, like, I'm already very tilted by all of this, but
no, I'm
super tilted.
We can absolutely do that. What is it that you want to say about Peter?
So basically the, to me, it's not credible when someone's saying they feel like, you know, he's trying to paint a picture. I owe him this, I owe him whatever. Like, then you send details, you send stuff like that, right? And as an example, the guy at front of him in Pines, I think, has much more argument for that. He's happy to meet me, and JJ was happy to talk things through. Like, that's the normal way, right? And I never had anything to do with that guy loaning Peter the money. Peter dealt with it, but he thought I was responsible for it. So then when he said that, I was like, okay, fine, right? That's the normal, like, that's normally how things happen at high stakes, right? It's not like, and if you want to go out there trying to paint a certain picture, then I want a much more fair resolution. You know, like, I don't know that I've ever asked for a penny back from, you know, usually if I was giving someone a deal, it's because they're my friend, right? I was trying to help them, right? So I don't think I've ever asked people to give me something or figure out a fair deal or try to hold their makeup over for future shit. But like, yeah, I feel different now, right? And not having that spill onto the guy, give Peter the buy-ins, whatever, that's somewhat reasonable, at least, right? Like, but with Peter, I feel very different now. So and also, like, yeah, anyway, yeah. Do you have any other Peter? I'm not saying we can't go back to it, but I just
the question for me then regarding Peter is, what would you like to see the next step be? You know, is this?
No, I've like, that's not. To me, that ship's sailed. Like, I don't. He's not acting in good faith or reasonable. Like, that's very clear to me. So it's not. Like, to me, it seems very clear. He's gonna share texts and stuff and try to paint some picture. He fucking sent me texts and leaves about 2 years, including when the cash outs are and that kind of shit. Like, it seems really clear that he's got whatever angle, right? I have my guesses, but yeah.
In your mind right now, as we're talking then, do you feel that you are square with Peter and you don't owe him anything?
That's a good question.
I mean, if we actually talk through fair, right? Like, he would owe me a bunch for the makeup's worth more than the amount he was complaining about. And I already talked with the other guy that had, right? Because I don't want that guy screwed just because Peter's spazzing and stuff when that guy didn't try to be weird with me and shit. Like, so, yeah, I mean, that, but it's not like I'm trying to, Peter has no fucking money and shit, right? I'm not trying to, at least I didn't intend to put him in any bad spot and shit, right? I don't know how I feel now. I need to, like, I feel very burned by someone I had helped for fucking 10 or 15 years. So I don't, you know.
Sure.
I don't know, you know, but yeah.
So it sounds like if there is a, like, this issue, like, okay, if you're going to say, yeah, I owe you this little bit, then we got to talk about
this situation. Well, it's not like he said it to some mutual friend or said, hey, let's ask what a friend or something, right? You're going to fucking go lie on Twitter a bunch of times. You're going to say, oh, you fronted this money, you did that, you did, like, he's just fucking lying or misleading so many of the details. It's like, fuck off. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and I would say to him, right, he's got the opportunity. If he really does have the receipt, so to speak, then he could.
No, if he had the receipts, why wouldn't he have sent me? That's right. And it's like, why when I ask for things, oh, he has the receipts, but he wants to make me look bad. That's just not fucking credible. Right. Like, and this was what was becoming clear to me lately, was like,
okay, so this doesn't make any sense. I've said that a lot of times here, but it really doesn't. So if he had the receipts and for whatever reason did not send them to Tom here, if Peter just was dragging his feet or refusing, let's just say hypothetically Tom kept asking, send me the receipts so I can understand the exact money I owe, and he wasn't getting it. And then Peter comes out to Twitter and complains, hey, Tom isn't paying me, and Tom gets pissed off that he is not being treated fairly because he was just waiting for these receipts. And then Peter comes out to Twitter and humiliates him. Now, if that was really what happened, then, you know, I would understand Tom being angry to some degree. But that's why you would just terminate the friendship. Or that might be why you go on Twitter and explain why Peter's being a jerk. And you say, yeah, I owe this money, but I've just been waiting for the accounting of the exact way the money breaks down, and then I will send it right away. So why is Peter doing this? He's being an asshole. And I think if that were to be the case and people were to believe it, then people would be on Tom's side here. But it does not sound like that's what Tom's saying. Because if it were just about the accounting, then Peter could send this right now and Tom could look at it, and provided that there's no objections, then he would send the money and that'd be it. Or he could send all the money except for what is in dispute. But he's not offering to do this. And he did send $30,000 already, but he won't send anything beyond that. So to be angry about this is fine. He can be angry at whatever he wants, but you've got to pay what you owe. And if he wasn't sending the receipts before, then say, okay, send all the receipts now, and I will pay you at that point. That's what he should say. There should be no such thing as, I'm just not going to pay you because you were not sending the receipts to me in a timely fashion.
I asked for these kind of things. He doesn't send them. Then he keeps trying to send a bunch of gotcha messages and stuff. Like, I didn't really want to believe he was going to go down that path. But at this point, it seems very, very clear to me, right? He's already tried to spin a bunch of shit. I'm sure he's going to be trying to do that in the future. When I asked him chat history, he had a bunch of messages ready to go that he sent instead of chat history. I'm like, dude, like, you know, I lost the chat history. Like, this would be including our cash out. Like, there's no credible reason to not send that, right? And even that other guy is saying, like, yeah, obviously there's no reason, you know, like, come on. Like, there's obviously an agenda, so.
Anything else on Peter you want to touch on before I ask about Haralabob?
Well, yeah, I guess, like, I had said this, another thing, but basically, like, Jungle as an example, Jungle and I didn't really know each other when we did the challenge, right? That was through Full Tilt. So I don't, you know, we definitely don't agree on every detail. Like, we definitely, both of us have said sorry for times or whatever, but, like, you know, like, it's not like there was some expectation on that, right? To be reasonable or whatever. I mean, I think it's still, we didn't always agree with how each other handled stuff. Definitely there was some stuff I didn't like that much that he did. But for me, that was a little easier to accept, right? With Peter, like, I really don't, it's just kind of a joke. You know, he's trying to say I never helped him and shit like that. Like, anyone that knows both of us, it's a fucking joke. You know what I mean? And so it's like,
it's safe to say it's a little more personal, right? You guys go back a long way.
I fucking bailed the dude out a bunch of times. I helped him a bunch of times and shit. Like, everyone around us knew that, right? It's like, this is why I didn't even want to be giving him the future deal. And then he came and was like, when he did the cash out thing, I was just like, I want to never deal with you again, whatever, you know, like, we could be friends, we can have a beer, like, have a nice life, whatever. And then he was like pulling on heartstrings, like, please, please, I really needed this, whatever. And I was like, okay, fine, whatever.
It sounds like what Tom is trying to say regarding Peter is that he's been friends with Peter for many years, and they were friends, that part's true, and that Peter was running into financial issues time and time again, and every time he did, Tom, quote, bailed him out, which I don't think he means, like, bailed him out of jail. I think he means that Tom, yeah, he was claiming that he was fronting Peter money in the past, giving him loans in the past when he really needed it until Peter could get back on his feet, so that he did this favor for him a ton of times, and then this matter came up about these Aussie million stakes in 2020, and then Peter was going to him saying, hey, we really need your half of the money, and Tom felt he was being an ingrate to keep hassling him for this right then on behalf of this other person, when he's saying, hey, look, you know, I've done so many things for you over the years. Why are you making such a big deal over this? Why can't you just let me send the money at my own pace? But this doesn't make any sense, because if you take a piece of somebody, you take a piece of somebody. And I don't believe it was in the agreement that Tom could just pay when he felt like it. So I think Tom was insulted that he probably didn't have money at the moment to pay and was probably saying to Peter, hey, you know, just let me get back on my feet some. Let me get in better shape here before paying this guy back or before paying you back that you paid the other guy, whatever it might be. And then Tom's like, hey, look, I helped you so many times when you were broke. Give me a chance to get out of the hole here. And Peter said no, and he got insulted. But, you know, that's the way it goes. If you buy a piece of somebody, unless it's agreed that you're not going to send the money till much later, you can't just say, well, I'll send that piece when I have enough cash to do so. When you're buying it, you're buying it. The only reason that Tom didn't send his piece right away, presumably, was because he was not physically there in Australia, and it was a pain in the ass to get the money over there. That's what I'm guessing was the situation. So he should not be insulted by this. And even if he is, that does not justify not paying.
Right. And that's what this was, too. I was like, okay, fine. I'll just say yes. I won't give you a hard time. Fine. But he did something a bit sneaky that, like, contributed, you know, probably a little, maybe more a little, to me not collecting, like, $1.8-1.9 million. And, you know, then in the meantime, is trying to give me a hard time around this. And it's just like, this is not, you know, like, yeah. In other words, I expected, you expect a different level of kind of behavior of someone you fucking, like, helped out a bunch of times. Sure. Right? I don't think Jungle ever, you know, I don't think he ever randomly post text or some shit like this. And if he ever was, he would be like, well, at least here's the chat history. Here's how I see it. Right? Like, it's like extra upsetting when it's this kind of spot. So
he's referring to Jungle, meaning Daniel Cates, Jungle Man, and how he has owed Jungle Man for a very long time over that Dirt challenge, which I explained on the last show. And this goes back to like 2010, 2011. And Tom still owes him. So he's saying that at least Jungle didn't attack him the same way Peter was on Twitter. That Jungle made it public, but that he was gentle about it. And that Peter is just coming at him so aggressively that it's really pissing him off. But again, that's not relevant here.
You've referenced a cash out situation several times. What is the cash out situation?
So I forget the exact terms of our deal. I think he was supposed to leave a certain amount in the deal. But I don't remember if we 100% agreed to that or if it was like vaguely talked about or what. I remember when he wanted to cash out and was like playing really big. I was like, okay, like, I just don't want to deal with you. Like, this is obviously selfish. I hadn't wanted to give him a deal initially and stuff. It was a ridiculous spot. And the buddy of mine that had the, was on the other half kind of thing, had like convinced me to keep saving Peter. Right. And obviously, like, I actually said this earlier today, you know, if I could go back and not have done that, but knowing that, like, you know, Peter was basically a fake friend, sure, I'd do that, right? If I could go back and not have done that, but still not know Peter was a fake friend, I probably wouldn't, right? Because, like, it was going to sting me at some point, you know? So.
Herolibus vulgaris, he also...
So
before we get to Herolibus... I don't understand that cash out situation at all. What does that mean? They kept saying the cash out situation. And the only thing I kind of maybe got from this is that there was also cash games involved in this stake, but I don't know. It's just so hard to follow. He did not give a clear answer there at all.
So yeah. Bob's story, there were like, I said the number 8 before. I don't know. Maybe it's 6. Maybe I'd need to fucking read through, but then I'll get tilted again and not want to keep on going with an interview. But there were a bunch of either misrepresentations, lies, omissions in that thing. And it wasn't, if it's one or two, it can be like, okay, whatever. This is still a super douchey move, right? There were a bunch. And so Bob, best of my recollection, I don't know now because we have no figure, but
Just real quick, so for the listeners and the viewers, just to set it real quick.
I'm going to explain it.
Yeah, 300. So, his tweet was 350,000 since 2010, is what he said.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sorry, but I just wanted to, so there's a point of reference there.
I mean, you could say it after, like, you know, just because someone tweeted something doesn't fucking make it true, right?
No,
like,
I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that is what he's tweeting, and that's what I want to get your reaction to, I guess. Or the story behind it from your perspective.
Yeah, but I want to tell you the actual story, and then you can counter it to street, you know? So
go ahead.
We were betting a phone account, right? Bob had, you know, he says in there, I convinced him, whatever. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty damn sure that it was him chasing me initially, because he was into that same guy like two or three other ways, but he said something like he didn't trust those ways that much and that kind of stuff. And he trusted me more on, you know, doing what I said, not betting it elsewhere, this kind of shit, right? And then he wanted to call for me and pretend to be me. And so that's his only claim of, like, then he later says the excuse for that was that, oh, he wanted to know that there was nothing funny going on, right? And I was always saying, like, you can fucking listen to me when I call, I don't care. He, like, never cared to, because he didn't, I mean, he might have done that once or twice, I don't know. He wasn't actually doubting that, he just wanted to call himself, right? But I felt weird with that, right? Because the guy we were betting with knew me from poker and stuff.
That's kind of interesting. So to quickly refresh your memory about the Haralabob situation, Haralabob is claiming on Twitter that Tom owed him, quote, mid seven figures for many years. And that the reason this happened was that he had Tom, quote, bearding for him on sports betting, meaning that Tom was pretending to be the one who was betting sports picks when it was really Haralabob's money and bets that were being done here, and that he was just having Tom do the betting to make it appear that a non-sharp sports bettor was doing it, because people knew that Haralabob was a really sharp sports bettor, so a lot of books and bookies would not want to take action from Haralabob, at least especially not at large amounts. So they were having Tom do it, so it looks like just Tom is degenning off in the sports book. So what Tom is claiming here, well, before I get to what he's claiming, what supposedly happened, according to Haralabob, was that Tom won a bunch of money betting Haralabob's picks at Haralabob's direction with Haralabob's money, but it was under Tom's account on the sports book, of course, and that Tom then lost back a lot of that money bearding for somebody else. So when it came time to withdraw the money, it was gone. And that's why Tom has owed him all this time, and that the only reason most of that was paid off, all but $350K, was because it just so happened that somebody else in poker who Haralabob and Tom mutually knew owed money to Tom, like a lot of money to Tom, and that Haralabob was able to convince the guy to pay him directly instead of paying Tom. So that covered everything but $350K. That is Haralabob's story. Now, what Tom is saying here is a new twist to this whole thing, that it was not an online sports book, that it was something where you have to call up and place the bet with a bookie, and that Haralabob was wanting to call up and say he was Tom in order to place the bets, because he didn't trust that Tom was really placing the bets, and that Tom claimed he felt funny about that, because he knew the bookie personally and was afraid that the voice would be recognized as not his and the whole thing would look really funny. So let's go on to listen to the rest of this.
There ended up being this case with a bunch of New York guys, and I had a bunch of money held. And at that time, I owed Bob an amount. I don't know exactly, but I want to say like 1.1 or something, right? And from that phone account, there were like 98%, 95% of the bets were either Bob or this other group. The other group ended up having a case, right? And I think it had 1.6 or 1.7. It might have been 1.5, something like that. But I think 1.6 or 1.7 held. I think I owed Bob a million or 1.1 at the time. And this was like a month after something. We stopped betting a few weeks after, right? And the other group I had lost with, Bob I had won, right? And Bob ended up getting paid any of the money we had And there's some other spot that he had said I should, you know, pay for someone, right? That I should be on the hook for it. That he had some argument, right? But then he would try to cause me legal jeopardy for that. And my point to him was like, buddy, you can't saying, hey, please, this spot that you, you know, kind of had guaranteed and should be on the hook for, or maybe should be on the hook for, or whatever, please pay it, is way different to like saying that and the next day trying to cause me a legal jeopardy spot, right? Like on that, in that point, I just don't really care. I'm like, fuck you. I don't care. I should be on the hook for it.
Okay. This sounds again like some sort of retribution that I don't know what legal jeopardy means. I don't know if he was angry that Haralabob may have been threatening to sue him, or Haralabob may have been threatening to get him in trouble in some way if he stiffed him, maybe for something unrelated. But basically, Tom's saying, you put me in legal jeopardy, so F you. Since you did that, now I'm just not going to pay what I owe you, which, of course, is wrong.
Like, whatever. This was not me and his dealings. It's a completely unrelated spot. Like, that's... And then he was trying to warp the story around it a bunch, and it pissed me off a lot, right? And it happens that those cases were more than 10 years ago. So, like, before, I would have been a little nervous to talk about this stuff, because it's like a bunch of people got shit when they hadn't done anything wrong, right? Like, legally, I hadn't done anything wrong. I still got fucking money held, right? And so I, like, while there was any chance of that shit reopening, Bob knew I wasn't, you know, it was like a soft spot, and he kept pushing on it. And my point to him was like, if you want to talk fairly and say you think I should be on the hook for this 350, you know, I wasn't even saying no. I think there's a really strong argument for me not owing it, or a very small piece at most, right? But I was like, all right, whatever. Like, if you want to talk fair about that, fine. If you do that and then the next day you try to push me some legal way and say I must pay and try to, you know, he also, there was a poker spot I had a piece, someone made it like a few million bucks, and Bob's now in that spot and has made tens of millions, right? And he was using this there. I'm like, you try to do that kind of shit, then I don't really care to honor this, even if there's an argument I should honor a piece of it or whatever. Like, fuck off, right? It's just like,
interesting. So it sounds here that Tom is angry that when he owed these millions of dollars to Haralabob, that Haralabob was getting impatient that he wasn't getting paid, and then just jumped in and got this other guy who owed Tom money to pay Haralabob that money instead. So it sounds like Tom said, hey, if you're going to just get in the middle when people owe me money and just take that from me because I owe you, well, if you're going to do that, I'm just not going to pay the rest. So I still owe you $350. Well, fuck off then. Since you took that approach, I'm just not going to pay you the rest, which, of course, is very wrong. You can debate the ethics of Haralabob interfering in other people's deals with Tom and grabbing that money through this third party. Though, if this was really owed to Haralabob, then what's the problem? Because you could say, well, you owe Haralabob, this guy owes you, why doesn't this guy just pay Haralabob? It makes sense. So Tom could say, well, yeah, but I was going to pay Haralabob in pieces, I couldn't afford to pay these millions all at once, and then he just grabbed it through this other guy by convincing him, and that's bullshit, you know, that's not the way you collect debt. So I could see both sides of that, though I'm more on the side that the person who's owed millions just needs to get it in whatever way possible. Like, that's fine. It's not like there was some kind of violence involved or something. This was just he found somebody else who owed Tom and convinced the guy to pay him. But whatever, it's not like Haralabob stole from him. Haralabob got money that was owed to him from Tom. So why is Tom so salty about this? So it looks like he's just refusing to pay the remainder.
You know, he's trying to cross a bunch of lines and then say, hey, this one spot, maybe arguably you should owe a few pennies more or whatever. Like, it's ridiculous in my opinion. I don't know.
But has there been any development with Haralabob? Have you guys chatted?
Yeah, we called and yelled at each other for 40 minutes. And then he is a funny guy. He messaged me. He's like, I'm on a helicopter. Hope I don't die. That was the last combo I had before I die. Fuck. Something like that. I was like, good luck. Hope you make it. But yeah, I mean, the thing I said, you know, I was kind of trying to show him why, like, it's not nice to push in those kind of ways. If I had actually wanted to cause him a problem, I could have done that a lot different. And that was one of the things we talked about on the phone. I think he realized that, right? And, you know, he had said he has his reasons for why, but he had, you know, not been that straight with me, and he thought it was justified because of there were other stories. I thought he had to, or whatever. I don't think he really believes that, but like that's his excuse for it. I'm like, okay, but realize that then that doesn't make me want to say, oh, there's this spot I was out a bunch of money for other shit, and you're saying maybe I should owe a little extra. Please, can I? And you're like, oh, here's my excuse for why I was an asshole to you so many times. Like, you know, yeah. So.
Yeah, it sounds like he's still mad that Haralabob got that money through that other guy. And then I guess the phone conversation they're referring to, or that he's referring to, that he had with Haralabob was probably recent, this 40-minute conversation where they were yelling at each other. And if you remember, recently Tom Dwan was tweeting allegations or kind of implications that Haralabob was betting on the NBA while he was working for the Dallas Mavericks, which is against league policy, and was trying to get him in some kind of trouble or ruin his reputation that way. And that's what I'm guessing a lot of the yelling back and forth was about. And Tom said that he was basically telling him, hey, I only put this out there because you jumped on me. When Peter Jetton brought this stuff out, then you showed up and came after me, and you know why I'm mad at you. I'm mad at you because you took those millions through this third party when I really needed that money to pay other people. I couldn't pay all of that to you at once. You just took it. So I'm pissed at you over this, and I've been pissed at you over this, and then you go write all this stuff on Twitter. So yeah, that's what kind of caused me to flip out and write this thing about you and the Dallas Mavericks. I think that's kind of the way the conversation went.
Like we said, this his tweet, he was referencing $350,000 from 2010.
No, he tries to make it seem like I owe it to him from bets we did. We have zero figure. That's completely clear. Like, there was always this thing on the side that I was like, we could talk about that, we could whatever, and then he would try to squeeze, right? And it, like, so he knows that he's not telling the truth when he's misrepresenting like that. There was, me and him have been square for years and years and years, right? Like, there's no, yeah. He knows that, even because, sorry, go ahead.
Do you think he just brought it up because of the Peter Jetton stuff, and he's like, oh, here, let me just chime in with this right now? Or has he been after you, pestering you for it for, you know, the last?
No, obviously years? That's what pissed me off. It's not like it's way different. If this is kind of thing has happened a few times with Bob, and I'm like, yo, like, you have my number. If you want to call and say you think I'm handling it wrong, fine. But my response is going to be, every time we talk reasonable, you do something scummy or shady, I don't trust you, you know, right after. And then he's like, oh, well, here's why I did that. And I'm like, well, okay, but, you know, it doesn't mean it's like, if we bet on that spot with some reasonable people, I mean, I would be surprised if, you know, he's even getting a third of that kind of thing or something like that, right, of the 350. Like, and I had said to him a bunch of times, like, fine, I can. And then he'd do some random shit the next day, right? Or like $1 million game, we talked about it. Then right towards the end of the game, Doug said there was some like PR shit Bob had him do, right? And then I'm like, Bob, like, you know, what the fuck is this, right? And then he tries to bring up sports shit that he knows is like a little sensitive, like. And so if he had texted me and said, hey, can we chat about this some, fine. If he had tweeted something a little more true, fine. Right up.
Oh, I'm understanding another reason that Tom is mad. The sports shit that's sensitive, I think what he's referring to is the fact that he exposed that Tom was doing this bearding, that Tom was placing bets on behalf of sharp betting groups. And I think what Tom's afraid of is this is going to ruin his opportunities in the future to do the same. Because, again, Tom is not known as a great sports bettor. He's known as a degenerate gambler. So you can see sports books being willing to take big action from him, whereas they would not be willing to take it from guys who are known to be sharp. So I think Tom is mad that this was an income stream where he could beard for these sharps and place bets, which was really the sharps and the sharps' money, and then get a certain percentage free rolled to him if they win, because that's the way these deals have been working. Haralabob said he was giving 25% of his profits to Tom, if there are any profits, for just doing this bearding with no risk to Tom because the money's all Haralabob's. So it's basically just Tom putting the account in his name and placing the bets. So Tom seems mad. He's not directly saying it, but I think that's what he's trying to say, that Haralabob exposed the fact that he was doing this bearding, and now bookies and sports books that might see this story might say, oh, well, we're not going to take action from Tom Dwan anymore because it's probably bearding for sharp bettors.
I probably still would have been like, really, like, douchey move, but whatever, fine, right? Like, but yeah, that's not what he's been doing. So,
I mean, I know you just said you talked to him, you guys yelled at each other for 40 minutes, but then had some good laughs. Like, are you and Haralabas friends? Are you friendly? Laughs. No, like, no, you just had some good laughs about his joke about the helicopter and such.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want a guy to fucking die in a helicopter, obviously. Like,
but like, are you friends? Are you and Haralabas friends? Would you consider yourself?
Well, no. I mean, I even actually said this to him. I was like, you know, because he was trying to like misconstrue it. I thought we had been a little friendly, right? And this was like why he and I had when he was initially betting, it was because he trusted me more. But then there was a time I like that other group was losing, he was winning, and I felt like there was a time he was like trying to be a little bit nice, right around that. And that was part of why I was trying to, you know, I like that money I had seized, I had to pay a small amount of it, like 10 or 12% or something, to get it back. And like, you know, there was actually during Paul's case that happened. And I like hadn't wanted to give up a penny of it. And then my lawyer like yelled at me, like, there's another thing going on, just do it, whatever. I think Bob could have made a claim that he had to wait a little long because of that. Maybe that was unfair by him. I think I could have made a claim that he should pay some of that. I was like, whatever. Like, we could always talk about that kind of shit. But I felt like he approached that a bit unfair, right? And I had tried to kind of honor, we had been at least somewhat amicable. We weren't like friends or whatever, but like somewhat amicable. And he like, now when he talks about it, he says Twitter, oh, you might have not even been putting in the bets and shit. And it's like, he just, I mean, that's not true. Like, he was never fucking doubting anything like that. That's why he wanted, like, yeah, it just, and then, you know, he also, I remember like, to try to get in that poker spot on other stuff, maybe just because he likes causing shit or whatever, he would say, he said to a bunch of people, oh yeah, the bank story supposedly, yeah, I don't think that's even true. And I'd be like, Bob, we can fucking drive to the bank. There was like a few times this came up where we're playing some poker game and I was like, I will lay you 10-1, we can drive to the bank, we can bet no dollars, we can bet whatever amount of dollars, it's like a 5-minute drive, like, fuck off, like, you can't, you know what I mean, there's a ton of paperwork around this. Like, you can't just like try to use that to cause me a problem and then say, please cover this other spot. Like, that's, yeah. But uh-huh. But so I think that's what, you know, and I think he probably knew me and Peter were friends, and so it just really, like, it, to me, it's like low blow, right? Yeah. And it's just like, you're trying, you know, like, you know, if he texts me, hey, I saw this Peter thing, I still think you should cover that 350, can we chat about it, do you want, whatever, like, sure. I was always happy to chat about that kind of stuff. He sends that kind of shit, I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like, yeah.
Let me ask this on a more lighthearted note too. You know, you have Peter saying his thing, Haralabas, and Jungle Man got involved a little bit online. He's actually, you know, more defending you in a lot of regards, and he tweeted something that I thought was kind of funny and interesting. He said, in regards to you, Tom, he said, and I quote, I've found him nearly fucking impossible to deal with. Apparently, this isn't an angle shoot.
That's mutual. Though. That's mutual, actually. We both didn't have the easiest time dealing with each other. But sorry, go ahead. You can say the rest.
I mean, you know, I've interviewed Jungle Man. I certainly can get both sides of that. But I mean, is there a possibility that some of this is a Tom Dwan thing? And just in terms of, I mean, keeping track of the records, keeping track of the situation.
So I'm not saying I'm perfect, haven't done shit wrong. Like, the guy that had the piece of Peter that thought I had all of it or whatever, right? Like, I'm happy to have those kind of chats. If I've messed up some spot or whatever, like, that went pretty easy. And that guy had way more reason to be grumpy, right? Like, Jungle, for example, yeah, I think we could both complain about each other. In this spot, Jungle Man's about 100 times more reasonable than Bob or Peter, right? And I, you know, if Jungle Man's the voice of reason, I think that kind of shows, like, you know, I don't think either of their intentions was good.
By the way, it was weird that Jungle Man was kind of defending him and saying that Tom has been working tirelessly to pay back what he owes. And someone suggested, hey, it looks like you're probably getting paid here and you probably have to say this in order to get paid. And Jungle said, no, he still owes. But he did not say he hasn't paid me. He just said he still owes, which could mean that Jungle is currently getting paid and that Tom is paying him with the expectation that Jungle defend him somewhat. That would be interesting if that's what's going on.
Good. Right. And Jungle, I think there's definitely been times both of us didn't handle something well by each other, but we've been able to like talk about those. And like in hindsight, I don't think, you know, yeah, there's some stuff he did I didn't really like. I can at least see a little bit why and stuff, right? I doubt I ever come to respect why even Bob did his, but definitely Peter's. Like, I'm never gonna, you know, like that, come on. Like, that was some fucking scummy shit. Like, yeah.
So where does this go from here? I know, you know, you've obviously chatted with me. I know you have done some other interviews. Do you think this is something that's going to drag on? Are you hoping this is
the end of it? Well, so I tweeted some, and then I a few times like kind of gave in and spaz tweeted, and then I realized like I think Peter's kind of fucking enjoying that, right? And so it's different with Bob, right? I'm not saying I can never talk about it some with Bob or tweeted him or whatever, but like I think Peter was kind of liking that, right? Or whatever the fuck is sending messages where Peter was liking that, and you know, so I didn't really want to partake in that when I realized it at a certain point. And yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that one I feel like really burned. I have no fucking idea. If Bob wanted to hit me up a week ago, a month ago, whatever, he could have, you know, I don't know, but I think I'll do Jungle and I'll probably do a chat or two, like video type thing like this, where it's both of us in it, but where we give each other shit, but it's in a like, okay, fine. I think you're wrong. I think that was a little unfair, but whatever, you know, like, I don't know how to explain that. Like, I don't feel like Jungle, I think he was a lot more reasonable, right? And I think both of these people didn't mean well. And I think the poker world, a lot of times people like to try to paint the image or pretend they have integrity. I think that's actually, a lot of times the sites do that. The if you remember, that was the first time I gave you shit, right? I thought you were like going for clicks, and you know, in hindsight, I think I was wrong, right? But I think a lot of times people are really optic driven in the poker world. And I think that's really bad in the long term, especially with like a lot of the tools out and stuff now. So, yeah, I obviously I wish this stuff hadn't really happened, but since it did, I'm just going to be like, you know, I think the reality is you fucking should face issues when they come up, not just try to fucking pretend to be like some voice of, you know, basically people chirping, like the guy fucking chirping on Twitter and stuff. I don't respect that, right? I think a lot of the people doing that actually have very bad agendas, right? It's to try to look honest so they can do whatever the fuck other shenanigans. When I say I think, like, I have my reasons to think that for most of those people. So, yeah.
I mean, you just use words like integrity and honest. Do you consider yourself those? I'm not saying you're not. I'm asking you, you know, do you, in your view of yourself?
Yeah, I don't think I'm perfect, but I think I'm pretty willing to face that kind of thing, right? If I messed up some spot, I'm usually willing to own it. I'm not always going to get it perfect every minute or whatever. But yeah. And I think, you know, I think it's not good when people are trying to cause a bunch of shit so that they like look good or whatever. I think all that kind of stuff ended bad. Like FDX did a lot of that shit as an example, right? They tried to look like the voice of integrity. No one ever say anything bad about that, you know.
What?
So I think,
how are we getting into FTX here? What does this have to do with FTX? What does this have to do with the FTX scandal? I don't understand. It's just so hard to follow him sometimes.
Anyone trying to say they're perfect, especially in the poker world, I think it should spook you, right? And you know, I generally try to set it up where people don't need to trust me that much. And then if some spot comes up, sure, I'll try to, I'm not trying to say I'm perfect, I'll do everything perfect all the time, but like I'll try to be a decent human or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. You were certainly kind and taking the time to go a little more deep dive-ish, if you will, with me here. Is there anything else that you feel we should touch on that we missed?
There's one thing I want to touch on. I don't know if we did it the other interview or not, but like, you know, I think cheating in poker is a pretty big issue nowadays. in live games and stuff like that. I think a lot of the bot stuff online is a pretty big issue. And that's why it's a somewhat sensitive thing for me when people LARP about a bunch of integrity stuff, right? I think whether they realize it or not, those things can be a little more connected than the average Twitter person that doesn't know much poker realizes and follows it a little bit and plays a little bit or whatever. And to me, you know, I hope this stuff wasn't that linked to me joining ACR. I don't think it was. Maybe Bob or Peter knew something. I don't know. But like, for example, one of the things I really like about them that I was telling you the other interview is they try to face shit, right? I like that about Triton, that if any little thing comes up, we just like talk about it. We don't try to sweep it away, right? Like, and I think, you know, I wish that it happened more in poker the last 5 or 10 years, but I think it's extra, extra important now and going forward with so much of the technology that's out, both for live games, but especially RTA stuff and all online. Yeah, and so the people fucking LARPing as if they're perfect and their integrity is 100.000% perfect and whatever for fucking clicks or whatever, yeah, that's an extra sore spot for me. So
he seems mad at anyone who is amplifying this story, who isn't directly involved, that he's basically saying, hey, you guys don't have pristine lives, so why are you trying to use me and my situation for clicks? But, you know, unless this person who's doing this and is exposing this has a bad history themselves, then it's fine if they put this out there or discuss this, because it's an interesting story and you don't have to have a 100% perfect history to discuss it. Now, somebody who's a known scammer, yeah, they really don't sit in a position to where they can judge Tom. They can still bring out the story, and we have had it before where scammers expose scammers over other matters. But let's say someone had some kind of small incident 8 years ago, and they're the ones exposing this. I mean, who cares? So you don't have to be perfect to cover stories like this. And Tom shouldn't get mad, especially because these people aren't necessarily saying, hey, I'm perfect and Tom isn't. They're not saying that. They're just saying, look at Tom. Look what's going on here. Here's my opinion on this. Here's why this sucks. The only way I could see where he'd be mad is if somebody had a very similar situation and then they were on their high horse criticizing Tom here. So if somebody who also stiffed people for a long time on money they owed and they're sitting there saying Tom's a scumbag, I would understand why he'd get mad about that. But truthfully, the people I see that are putting these stories out there about Tom, you know, the third parties who are not involved, but the ones just covering it, they don't have this type of history from what I've seen.
So, real quick with ACR, because we did talk about it a little bit, but just for the sake of this interview, the timing on that, I know there are a lot of people who are thinking, oh, it's he's just doing the sponsorship right now to, you know, get some money to pay off these things.
We had a handshake right. 5 months ago or some shit. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and you did mention that in the last interview. So
I actually believe that. I don't believe ACR ran out and signed him or that he ran to ACR as soon as these stories came out about him owing money. I think it's just coincidental that these stories came out and then days later ACR announced that he was a pro.
And you know, you did just mention bots, and I'd be remiss if, you know, the new company you are now representing just made headlines not long ago for that very thing. Is that something you're going to be aware of and trying to, you know, combat and keep an eye on during your time there?
I mean, I don't know that I'm the guy for that. I don't really play. I think they're mostly at the smaller stakes now. I think in my experience, from what I've seen, they're trying to face that stuff. And that's something I respect. And, you know, so one story about them is there's like a few things that I think will be included in most poker games in 5 or 10 years. That I've told probably every principal at the bigger poker organizations, or just about every principal. And Phil was the only one to really pay attention to that, right? And that's me. Like, I have quite a bit of influence in poker. And even me, it's been like 5 years. I wasn't able to get that, you know, through. And it's, maybe over a beer sometime or whatever, I can tell you a little more. I don't want to like cast shit publicly on people, but you know, basically I think a lot of the organizations in poker don't really, they care much more about looking like they have integrity than actually having integrity. Right. And I think people out there are fucking LARPing about that shit or whatever. Like, you know, when we did this interview, my only condition was if you edit it, please send me the interview. Right. Like I'm doing with Joey going to be like similar type thing with Nick and Veronica, same type thing. Right. It's like, you know, sure. Obviously if I really felt like you were going to try to gotcha me, then maybe I'd want to know the questions first or a very set time or some shit like that. Like, yeah.
No, and you're right. That was your only ask of me. And, you know, I said, absolutely, because we have not, you know, nothing to hide, and I don't anticipate we're going to be editing much, if anything. So, you know, I think transparency is best, and, you know, you've answered the questions that I've had that I've tried to ask, sometimes in roundabout ways, because, you know,
I'm sorry. I mean, you know, I think I'd be a little straight if I was a little pissed off about it, or a little less pissed off about it. Like,
no, he's never straight. He's just always answering like that. You never get a direct and straight answer from Tom. It's always very hard to follow him. So I don't think it's because he's pissed off.
Very pissed about both of those spots. But my bad.
Well, Tom, if there's nothing else, you know, I'll let you go. I know you've got a full day there in Jeju and in Vegas here. It's getting quite late, but no, I appreciate you opening up about this. That's not an easy thing for people to do, especially when it comes to the high stakes world. You know, I've been in this industry a long time, and it's not often that we get people who will kind of shed a little light on what's going up at the highest stakes like this. So, and even though this is, you know, more negative than positive per se, you know, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to chat with me and the listeners and the viewers.
It's always weird how these just end abruptly. There is no Tom saying, okay, well, thanks for having me on. Bye. It just ends right there. Weird. Okay, anyway, that was the interview. And I'd say it was interesting. It didn't tell us that much. I got a few things out of it that I didn't know before that I mentioned to you guys. Now let's move over to Twitter. Peter Jetton had two threads since this. He said, another interview from Tom Dwan and still no explanation for why he isn't paying his debt. I understand that it must be fucking painful for him to finally get his hands on some sponsorship money and have to use it to pay back debts. I get it, but I waited 4 years and I'm tired of his bullshit. Doing an interview tomorrow with Poker News to elaborate on the situation. I guess there's going to be one with Peter Jetton, too. Boy, this never ends. So, let's move to the other tweet that Peter wrote where you get more information. He said, I'm going to do a quick AMA, meaning ask me anything, on Tom Debt, ask away. So, one of the people to ask him, quote, anything, was Tom. He asked, why are you lying? Why won't you admit if we arbitrate, you owe me a bunch? Peter said back, let's go to arbitration and find out then. Or you could just pay the remaining 96K that you owe and be done with it. Now, I don't see how it's 96K. Maybe he meant to type 196 and just left that out, unless 100 got paid that I don't know about. Because it was 226, 30 got paid, that leaves 196. I don't know where the other 100 went. Tom wrote, offer still stands. Why not our oldest mutual friend, meaning for arbitration? Would have arbitrated with just about anyone reasonable before you publicly lied so much, and you know that. Peter then wrote back, I've already explained to you that the outcome of an arbitration isn't certain regardless of the facts and my conviction in them. I would never put him in a position where he could rule against me and our friendship would suffer, meaning that they have some close mutual friend that he doesn't want deciding on this because it'll ruin their friendship if it's ruled against him, Peter says, because he's so sure he's right here. I would imagine he wouldn't agree to it anyway for that reason. I've told you I'm happy to have any reputable member of the community be the one to arbitrate, and I would expect you to escrow the money. Otherwise, I would just consider it another delay tactic. So there was nothing further from Tom in that. I kind of died after that. Art Parman asked, can you just tell the whole story succinctly in one post? Like exactly why, what he owes, and what he might retort with, and give us the timeline. So then Peter said he took action in Australia 2020 and hasn't paid for it. He told me privately for years that he would pay the full amount soon. I finally got tired of waiting and told him I was going to tweet. He said he would pay the full amount in Jeju. I said no. He offered an extra 25K. I said no. Then he said, okay, I don't owe the full amount then. I want to know about this whole makeup thing. Max Silver asked, would you consider Tom a gambling addict? If Tom won $10 million tomorrow, do you think he pays? Peter said, yes, I consider him a gambling addict. I think the desire to constantly be in high-stakes action motivates a lot of his decisions. I think I'd agree with that. A person named Cameron asked, do you have messages or some kind of proof and evidence that he took the said action for the tournament? Peter said he's not denying he took the action. From what I can tell, his interview, he's just mad he owes the money. Well, there is this weird thing about this whole makeup thing. So he's claiming that's part of it, and also just that he's mad at the way that Peter handled this with trying to humiliate him on Twitter, and now he doesn't want to pay. He's not just mad he owes. Sam Rosen asked, how much makeup do you owe to Dwan? Was the makeup incurred before or after the transaction in question? And then Peter said he owns makeup stemming from action after Australia. It has zero relevance to him owing me money. And I don't owe him any money because of that makeup. It's not a thing. Okay, so there is apparently makeup. So finally we have some clarification here. That after the whole Australia thing, that there was some kind of separate staking deal where Tom was staking Peter and Peter lost. So that was a deal with makeup. And as I said earlier, the way makeup deals work is that the person being staked never owes the amount in makeup. So if the stake ends, then the backer just eats it. So this is a situation here where first Tom directly bought pieces of Peter in Australia and bought 226K worth that was lost, I guess, you know, with all the pieces bought versus how much was cashed, basically 226K was owed by Tom. And Tom basically admits that. But then after that whole thing, and before Tom paid anything, Tom also staked Peter by himself in a makeup staking deal, where if Peter goes in the hole in that deal, that it would be a makeup situation. So Peter's saying, yes, when the stake ended, I was still in makeup, so I lost on the stake overall. But because you don't owe money when a stake ends and you're in makeup, that shouldn't affect the 226K that Tom owes. And I agree. Tyler Short also noticed the weird math with the 96K versus 196. So he sent more than the 30K he claims, since you said down to 96 from 240. I heard it was 226, but whatever, it's similar numbers. Peter said he sent 20K 6 months ago when I first started getting angry, another 30K after my first tweet, and 100K 2 days ago. Oh, I see. I didn't know about the 100K 2 days ago. Okay, well, it seems like Tom's starting to pay up. I mean, he sent 30K after the tweet, which was a very short time ago, and then 2 days ago, another 100 was sent. So it seems like Tom knows he owes the money. So it's down to 96. I mean, at least the progress is getting made. That's a pretty big piece of all this that's getting kind of overlooked. Stinky Linky, that's a nice name, said, how much would you accept if someone offered to buy his debt? What percentage? Peter said, there's 96K left in the debt. I want the full amount from Tom. I'm cutting him a massive break by not insisting on interest. Robert Mitchell asked, do you play poker anymore, Peter? I haven't seen you in the tournaments in a while. Peter said, haven't played much poker in years. Hopefully you're out there crushing him for me. So it seems like Peter just couldn't get off the floor in poker. It seems like Peter just was not a winning player at these high-stakes tournaments and finally gave up. That's kind of what it looks like. It looks like he was getting people backing him, and he just wasn't able to consistently win. So he's done. And yeah, it's hard to win at those high-stakes tournaments for sure. Dominic Field wrote, if he offered to pay the debt in Jeju, why would you decline? Peter said, The debt is from 2020. He told me multiple times over the years that he would pay next week, next stop, next whatever, but never did. It's just another lie. Of course, he did pay $30,000, then $100,000. So he is paying something, but you can say that it's because Tom is being publicly called out at this point. In fact, I think that's pretty likely. Jeff wrote, if you're speculating, is he broke and owes everyone, or is he just being difficult? Peter said, a handful of people have told me privately that he owes them too, and some have even replied publicly. I'm not positive why he's not paying, but my guess would be insolvency. Well, he couldn't be that insolvent. He paid $100,000. Chris Stevens asked, how many pieces, swaps, etc. have you done with Tom before this incident? Peter wrote back, plenty. I was comfortable letting him buy action in this spot because the Triton stop was just around the corner and he had good credit there. It would have been easy for me to collect. Then the pandemic happened and Triton was canceled. Ah, interesting. So Tom has some kind of association with Triton, I think, because Paul Fua is involved with it. So I think the way Peter was figuring was that he let Tom buy this action on credit for Australia, knowing that the next stop was Triton. And over there at Triton, either Tom was going to pay up the $226,000 he owed, or he'd get someone at Triton to do it on behalf of Tom. Because he said Tom, quote, has good credit there. But then COVID hit, and there was no Triton, and then this never got paid. Here's the thing about that weird cash-out story. Maybe we'll get some clarity here. Ed Fitz asked, is the debt part of a cash-out of markup you owe Tom and another backer, as he seems to suggest in the interview? Peter says, the cash-out that happened 7 months prior to this has no relevance to his current debt. The makeup figure has no relevance to his current debt. These are things he only mentioned in direct response to me, saying I was going to discuss it publicly. He wanted action on high roller tournaments in Australia. I put up the money for his pieces, and he hasn't paid for it. He didn't say, I'll take the piece and collect if you win, but if you lose, I'm going to claw back profits before the deal last reset 7 months ago. Nobody would ever agree to that. I think this cash out thing they're talking about, I'm not sure, but I think this is what is being mentioned. This is getting a little more complicated, though I'm still on Peter's side. I'm guessing the way this stake eventually ended, not the one that was this $226,000 in question, but the one in makeup. I'm guessing the stake ended where Peter was released from the stake, meaning that if he played in the future, it wouldn't have to be on Tom's stake. But to get out of that, he agreed to pay some percentage of the makeup back. That's why it was called a cash out. So just hypothetically, let's say that Peter was $100,000 down on the stake, and Tom wanted to keep staking him. So that would mean that Peter would be obligated to be playing on Tom's stake as long as Tom wanted him to, and Peter wanted to get out of that. So instead of having to continue playing on the stake and give the first $100,000 to Tom and then split the remainder, he just wanted out of that whole situation, so he went to Tom and said, okay, how about I buy out of this stake where we just end the whole thing and I give you this much money back, and then the rest you just eat, because it was makeup, you know, I technically don't owe it to you, but I really don't want to play under your stake anymore, so how about we come to that deal? So it sounds like that happened, but he's claiming it happened actually prior to this Aussie Millions thing. So he's saying that deal was done. So it was sounding like earlier that this actually happened after the whole Aussie Millions debacle. But he was saying this happened before, 7 months earlier, sometime in 2019. And that then in 2020, they did this Aussie Millions deal where Tom just bought a direct piece of him and then just never paid for the pieces. And if that's the case, then Peter's definitely right. But you see how this is getting more complicated. Jeremy McCall asked, do you think Tom can pay, or is he just choosing not to pay? Peter said, I think there's been times he could pay and times he couldn't, but he's never been honest about it. He just always told me he'll pay soon and never did. For the Fans asked, are you really broke yourself? Peter said, no, that's just Tom trying to demean me. He has no clue what my financial situation is. So the rest of these are just the same questions that we've already answered about the makeup and all that. So, yeah, pretty interesting. So that's all I got here. After reading all of this, my verdict would be, from everything I've heard so far, would be that, yes, Tom owes the remaining $96,000 to Peter, provided that the accounting is correct. I do agree that Peter does have to give a full accounting of everything to Tom before Tom pays this final $96,000. But provided he gives that and it's all correct, he should pay the remaining $96,000. And all the situation with the makeup and the cash out and all that had nothing to do with this. That is a completely separate transaction and should not affect this at all. And also, he owes the $350,000 to Haralabob, even if he's mad that Haralabob went behind his back and got a third party to pay him instead of paying Tom what was owed, that he just grabbed that money in the middle. It was money he was rightfully owed, so even though Tom may not be happy, he can't just stiff Haralabob for that reason. So I feel he should pay both of these guys and pay Jungle Man, too. Hope you enjoyed this Poker Fraud Alert special. I still need to do all those other topics that we didn't get to in the last show on the 10th that will happen this week. Just wanted to do this. This show is not going to be edited. Maybe very, very slightly, but I'm just going to toss it up there. So it should be available tonight, pretty soon. It's a pretty good interview by Chad Holloway. I don't agree it was a softball. Chad didn't aggressively ask questions, but he did ask some good questions. And you have to understand that Tom is only going to agree to interviews like this if you approach him in a friendly and non-confrontational manner, because he doesn't have to agree to anything. He could just not want to do the interview. And that's what people have to understand about these interviews, is you can't just be an asshole to the person that you're interviewing, or not only can they just end it and walk off, but then other people will see this and not want to interview with you in the future when they are in controversy. So you've got to get a reputation of someone who is gentle with the person in controversy, or the person in controversy will not want to interview with you. So it's a balancing act. So I thought it was fine. I did not have to be gentle because I'm not interviewing Tom. I'm just commenting on an interview. If you do not listen to this show regularly, we do this, I don't know, every two and a half weeks or so. A full show, usually a very, very long show. You can find it on every podcasting app you can think of. Search for Poker Fraud Alert, three different words, Poker Fraud Alert Radio, because it's four different words. Or you can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/@, yeah, the at symbol, youtube.com/@PokerFraudAlert. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned in the next few days for the next show. Shalom.